Okay, Parshas Ekev. We are going to frame the Parsha, beginning, a middle, and an end. Okay, we're going to focus on the beginning and the middle the most, and a little bit of on the end. The Parsha starts with a strange word. The idea is clear, but the language used is strange, and it's setting us up for understanding the rest of the Parsha. The running idea of the Parsha. Everybody should read this Parsha. This is straightforward. There's no stories here. It's Moshe speaking to us, telling us exactly how to get our heads on straight. Okay? What to keep in mind, what not to forget, how to go from the beginning, which is the possibility of failure or success, the critical ingredient for success, to the eventual success. He sets it up. This is the option. This is where the balance lies. This is the fulcrum, the center point. This is what you have to get in order. And this is where how you succeed if you do get it in order. That idea is all in kind of like embedded in the second word of the Parsha. Vahaya Ekev Tishma'un. Now, the word Ekev does not mean if. That's im. Okay? Ekev means heel. Okay, so it's a very strange choice of words. So let's read the pasuk, just substituting the word heel for if, because heel makes no sense if you just translate it like that. Vahaya Ekev, and if you listen to the mishpatim. The mishpatim are the ordinances. Mishpatim specifically are like the laws that are rational, ben adam l'chavero, the rules that Hashem makes, also ben adam l'makom. Many of the ben adam l'makom are rational, such as those that are testimony to Hashem's the creation of the world or history with Klal Yisrael. But if you listen to the Mishpatim, ordinances it's called, Ha'ela, these, Ushamartem, and you watch them. In other words, you watch not to violate them. Everybody knows Shemira is preserve, be careful, don't violate. Va'asisim osam, and in addition to that, you do them. Ushamar Hashem elokecha lecha es habris v'esachesed asher nishba levzecha. You can be sure that Hashem will constantly preserve for you, hold it in waiting for you, even if you have some bad moments. He will watch it for you and hold it for you and protect it for you. It will always be there for you. The covenant he made with you to never exchange us, of course, and the chesed, in other words, the love and the ahava and the overabundance that he promised to the avos. It all depends on Ekev, Ekev Tishma. Now, the word Ekev means heel, okay? We have to think about the usage of the word heel and the metaphor heel to see what Moshe is telling us, and Moshe, you know, is kind of setting us up to how he's setting us up to think. First of all, Rashi says, classic Rashi starts with Ekev. He says here, obviously Moshe expects Klal Yisrael to abide by the instructions that Hashem has given, but there are always those aspects, despite, you know, our commitment to Hashem's law in all of its forms, in all of its variations, all the mitzvahs, all the los ases, ases, there's always those that we judge to be less significant, and they get trampled upon. So the first meaning of Ekev, heel, is if you're careful and you're more meticulous with everything and you don't trample on those things that we decide are not so significant. Okay, so the first thing is kind of like an embedded warning that listening to Hashem, in other words, being obedient, being in line with what's supposed to happen, means it takes, there's an assumption there that it means the whole package. We're not picking and choosing. That's the first thing. Those mitzvahs were being warned to be careful, to be aware of the normal human tendency to kind of like relegate things to different status, you know, or different importance. These are important mitzvahs, these are a lot less important mitzvahs. You'd like to use our judgment to kind of create categories, and then certain things we decide are not so significant. Don't categorize, take the whole package as one, don't trample on anything. The Nesiva Sholem brings down here that the area that people most trample on is the area of Kadesh Atzmacha B'Mutarlach. Those areas where we are not mandated to behave a certain way, it's kind of in our own, it's left to ourselves, it's a product of our Ahava and Yira of Hashem, our love and fear. Those areas which are permitted but take restraint, and a person chooses to what degree they will approach that permissible area with a sense of restraint. For example, eating. How does a person eat? Just what they need, only to appreciate Hashem, you know, to really enjoy the food as a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a food, you know, how do we approach it? That's a very big area of where a person can exercise this free, you know, this area which is completely given up to us, depending on who we are and how we're doing. That's an area that we choose our degree of Kedusha, separation from the Gashmias, or more connection to Hashem. These are areas that are easily trampled upon, that we neglect. So there's a focus on this here. But that's the first thing, trampling. But the way the word Akev is used in Chumash, and we're going to see in Yirmiyahu, in Tehillim, in Shmuel, is not so much as trampling, but so in a different context. And think about it. When we think of our own heel, yes, when we walk, we can trample things. Okay? But what is the function of the heel? The function of the heel of the body, it is not the brain. We talk a lot about the mind. It is not the heart. It is not the seat of the emotion, so to speak, which we link to what we call heart, even though obviously it's not the heart. We just call it that. It's not the seat of the intellect. It's not the seat of the emotions. It's not your hands, which you connect to other people, your relationships, your yachas, right? It's not, and not what you build. It's not even your legs that take you somewhere. It's what function does it serve? It serves to balance and support everything else. It is the area of balance and support. So when you're going to see Akev used all over Tanakh, it's going to be either in the context of grounded support, or the context of when a person reaches out and grabs somebody's ankle, like Yaakov was holding onto Esav's ankle, right? Or the way it's used is that when we're bitten in the ankle, or we're under, pulled off our grounded place, or where our ankle is undermined, then what happens? So it's really used often in the terms of undermining somebody's entire, you know, progress. Undermining progress, or undermining something. Progress could be wicked progress or good progress, but undermining it. Take toppling things. How do you topple someone from the bottom? You don't. It's not a frontal attack, you know, against the will of a person. It's not an attack against the ideology of a person. It's a cunning, backwards, behind-the-scenes ambush that topples the person. It's very effective, okay, because the mind can still have all its intentions, and the heart, so to speak, can have all its drives and all its interests, and it could still be very ambitious to accomplish that thing, and it could have, you know, an ideology why they should accomplish, but it can't. It's undermined. It's weakened from the bottom. It's very effective. So it's used often in that context. And it's also because that is where a person can be toppled by the Akev, therefore it's also used in terms of the assuring that it's secure and that it's balanced. So what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying here is this. He's saying that there is a factor that can topple you completely. Therefore, you must secure it. We're going to see in the middle of the parsha that factor that holds everything upright, we're going to see is Yiras Shemayim. It's going to be fear of heaven. But what's interesting here is that it says here that if we anchor our heel, so to speak, if we make sure we are not going to be toppled by our weakest point, okay, our Achilles heel, you might call, right? That is, we're going to see a lack of Yiras Shemayim, okay, a lack of a real fear, a sense of fear or awe of Hashem, recognition of the seriousness of it. If we're not going to have that in our consciousness, that's going to topple us. But on the other hand, if we keep that in mind, then the whole beginning of the Parsha and through till the point of Yira, which we're going to see is the middle, is all about the enormous love and bracha and, you know, the response of Hashem, which is an overflowing of more and more and love and closeness and commitment of Hashem to Klal Yisrael. So that our ensuring that we hold on to Yira Shemayim, that's called the Akev. That's going to be the fulcrum. That's going to be the anchor. That's going to bring upon us all the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see. Now, this is specifically relevant in this door because this, hopefully, it seems very much so, that this is Ikvasa de Mashiach. Ikvasa de Mashiach means like we normally call it the footsteps of Mashiach, but it also means that Mashiach is a process that takes, as we know, thousands of years, and a process of enlightenment, of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know that Chazal say 2,000 years of chaos till Avraham, spiritual 2,000 years of Torah being established to the Chorban Bayis Sheni, and 2,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach. So the heel of that, the 2,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach, has its own progress, it has its own development, and the end of that, the Ekev, is like the final, last end of it. That's called the Ikvasa de Mashiach. So Nesiv HaShalom says that at that point in history, okay, we are compared to the heel, because it's not about the mind and it's not about the heart. In other words, what will be the koach that grounds Klal Yisrael, the heel, okay, that assures their stability at the end when we're weakened by thousands of years of Golus, when we're not seeing clearly anymore, when we have no Nevuah and no Nisim, and all the Chachma, as we've spoken about, has to come from us, and we get very confused, right? And we are, you know, pulled in a lot of directions, outward pressures and enemies from within and without. What is going to be the stabilizing force for Klal Yisrael so that they won't topple? He says that is going to be, here, I just want to tell you what he says. That is going to be, he says here, this is how he says it. He says that generation, okay, the heel, hachelek hanamach biyoser hua ekev, the lowest point of all is the heel. Shehem hadoro shel ikvasa de Mashiach, the generations of the right before the coming of Mashiach. Sheha hester gadol behem, that the Hashem's concealment is very great. She'ein roin, ve'ein shomin klum, there's no more sight, there's no more hearing. Remember we talked about Shemia and Re'ia a lot, hearing and seeing. The element of the luchos, where they saw the sounds. Every dover was a dibor, right? This sounds familiar. When that's hard to keep our eye on that, and we get very confused, and we make all kinds of miscalculations and go and scatter in all ways. Kol mash yesh lahem urakoach emuna. At that point, they have trust. Emuna. That is very similar to the heel. The person's person's ideas could be way off. A person's mind can be confused. We could be confused with what Hashem wants from us, and so many, you know, and what's the next step, what's right and what's wrong, and our emotions, our passions, our lave, could also have a great desire to do what's right, but could be swayed in many ways. So what does a person do when they're confused and they're lost and they're weak from all the thousands of years not only attacks, but the attempts to invalidate us. So what do we tell people when they're like that, when they're kaput? Just stand up, right? Get up on your feet and go. Live another day. Get up. That's emuna. Just stand up and go forward. It's a world of action. Do good things today. You don't have to understand. You might not know how to feel. Just get up. We know what's right to do. Stand up and do right things. And he says it's the koach of emuna. And he says, "Shafilu beikvasa de Mashiach, even in the footstep, this time period when Mashiach is about to come, when it's the lowest point in the process of bringing Mashiach, and the concealment is very great, becholze Yisrael ma'aminim be'emuna shalema, we believe completely, and this is what it means, ekev tishma'un, v'haya ekev tishma'un." So he says something beautiful here, Nesiv HaShalom. He says, "V'haya." Is always a code word for great simcha. For great simcha. How does that come out? Vahaya is the Rosh Hatevas of Yismuchu Hashamayim Vesagel Haaretz. Yismuchu Vahaya. Vav He Yud He is Yismuchu Hashamayim Vesagel Haaretz. Yud Ke Vav Ke. The Rosh Hatevas of those things. Joy in the heavens and on earth. When a Kaddish Baruch Hu sees that at the end, we balance ourselves one more time, we stand up, we find an anchor that we can't be toppled, and that is our trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is moving things along, and we have a role to play, and we haven't been rejected. As it says here in the beginning of the Parsha, if you are Ekev Tishma'un, then Hashem will maintain the bris, maintain the chesed, it's always going to be there. If we maintain that idea, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the joy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very great, and all the ahava that the pasuk and the pasukim after and the parakim after, you know, express, is going to be for sure be bestowed upon us. And he says, Sha'af bedoro shoketz v'sof ha'galus, even in the generation, the end, the very end of the galus, in the ikvus of the Mashiach, ad she'en rov, when we don't hear and we don't see, we listen b'koach ha'emuna. And he says, these generations, the fact that they're able to do this, what does it prove? Al godel avas Hashem. The great love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they were able to maintain despite everything through all the doros, sha'af mitoch ha'hester. Even in concealment, they don't see and they don't know. They trust. And mischar gadol, avas Hashem sheyeshbem zochim, and because of the great, enormous reward of the love of Hashem that they have been able to maintain and which supports them, Hashem says in this pasuk, va'avcha, He will love you, He will bless you, He'll give you all the brachas. And this whole parsha, you got to read it. We have to look through the words. All about Hashem's great love. It doesn't first go into it. If you listen, like we say in Shema, Hashem will give you rain. It doesn't talk about technicalities of living. It talks about Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael will be ensured if we maintain that. By the way, it really is true. You saw, this was the feeling you had at the Siyum HaShas and watching it. There's now the video of the entire 7 hours. But it's at the end of this, you know, end of a very long galus, and we don't know what's going on and why and who and what and where. Nobody has answers and how it's, you know, will all play out. But there was this huge love. Yeah. True, all it was great. That's what it was. It was emuna that we're still learning Torah and that's our life. And this enormous outburst of love for who we are and for our tafkid. If that's in place, that's the akev, that's secure, and that will make sure that all the ava and all the bracha. But in order to be there, to be in that place of ahava, there's an ingredient called yira. But first, what we're just going to do is I want you to hear the psukim that back up this idea that the akev is the fulcrum. Okay, it's where we stand or fall. And the akev for us, in ikvus of the Mashiach, is holding on to a trust of the in the bris. And by holding on to the trust is not an ideological thing only. It means in our day-to-day life, we keep living like Jews. That's the Yira Shamayim part. And in response to that is the great Av of Hashem and the ultimate success. So for example, in terms of, no, not this safer. Okay. In terms of the Akev being a something that can undermine or topple. Where you know the first raya for that, right? Everybody knows the first time that's used in relation to Yaakov. Mm-hmm. Chaf Zion, Lam and Vav. Hold on, here we are. Okay, remember that? First, Yaakov was holding on to his heel, which means that he'll ultimately undermine the forces of Esav. But when is the first time that you hear the word Akev used as a description of undermining? That's when Esav says to his father Yitzchak, after Yaakov took the brachas, this is Bereishis, Perek Chaf Zion, Pasuk Lamed Vav, Vayomer, this is Esav. Hachi kara shemo Yaakov. You see, it is because his name is called Yaakov. Vayakveni ze pa'amayim, and he outwitted me, or he deceived me, or he toppled me twice. Now that isn't true, really, because Esav sold his brachorin full knowledge, but he toppled. Here he toppled Esav on his mother's demand, right? So that is the first time the word is clearly used as just, you know, undermining a person. And then you have in Iov, Yudches Tes. Here, Iov Yudches 18, Pasuk Tes. Clearly, Yoches Ba'akev Pach. A trap shall seize him by the heel. So we're talking about trapping and heel. That's right. Yoches Ba'akev Pach. That is from Iov. By the way, so many words are understood through Iov. Yaakov is Akev because he came holding on to the Akev. Here is Tehillim, Mem Aleph Tes is entrap him by the heel. Here. One second. Where's Higdal? 1 second. Higdal Mem Aleph. I copied them wrong. Mem Aleph Tes. Oh, that's weird. Oh, yeah, it's Yud, and it's weird. There it's Tes, and there it's Yud. Okay. Here it is. Gam Ish Shalomi. Even my ally, the person who is b'shalom with me, asher b'tachti bo, that I trusted in him. Ochel lachmi, he eats my bread. Higdil alai okev, he set a trap for me. He set a trap for me. Tehillim Nun Vav Zion. Tehillim Nun Vav 56 Zion. Here, he says like this. Yaguru yitzpenu. Yitzpinu hema akevi, they lodge, they hide, they watch my steps, and they hope to take down my life. Yaguru, yitzpinu hema akevi, it's hema akevi yishmeru, hema akevi yishmeru. They are watching my heel. Where is my weak point? Where can they undermine me? Where can they bring me down? These are a few psukim. That you see is used as it's a trap. And then, of course, it's used in terms of cunning, as we spoke about by Esav. But it's also used, and this is the main point here, it's also used in terms of making the right decision and assuring the balance and getting into a place of security that is going to be established forever. You know where that is used? Anybody know by Avraham? All the promises to Avraham come because why? Because he made a choice. Bereshis Chaf Beis Yud Ches. This is in Vayera, the end of Vayera. Mm-hmm. This is after the Akedah. All the brachas, who we are, come from this point where Avraham made a decision and secured forever Klal Yisrael's identity, and Hashem gave him a great bracha, and he says, I will bless you, it's on page 104, I will increase your descendants like the stars and like the sand, and your descendants will always inherit in the end the gates of their enemies. V'hisparchu b'zarecha kol goyei haaretz, and all the nations of the world will bless themselves through you and will be blessed through you. Ekev asher shamata b'koli. So Ekev here is one example. There's another example in Shmuel Beis where it means you were not wavering. You did not. There is no room here to topple you. You set yourself up secure on your anchor, so to speak, and because of that, then you're guaranteed ultimate success. Now, to look at the ultimate success, if we do this right, the end of the parsha. Turn to the end of Parsha's Ekev, and then we'll go back to the middle. Look what happens if we succeed. Let's start in Pasuk Chaf Beis. Anyone have the page? Okay. Perek Yud Aleph. What page? 996, 11:22. If you do observe all the mitzvahs that I have commanded you to perform them, remember the focus here is on ahava, to always love Hashem, to go in His ways, to cling to Him. Look at this is what Hashem said to Avram. Vahorish Hashem es kol hagayim ha'elim milifneichem. Hashem will drive out all these nations before you. V'yirashtem gayim gedolim, just like He told Avram. And you will inherit great nations that are much stronger than you. Now look at the change here. Kol hamakom asher tidroch kaf rag lechem bo lechem yihye. Every place your foot steps will be yours. You'll conquer everything. It just doesn't only mean Eretz Yisrael. It means every achievement. Every area you progress to, you will conquer it. You will succeed with it. We switched from Ekev. If you establish yourself, so balance yourself. Okay, remain true to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all through till the very end, till Ikvasa de Mashiach. When there's nothing left but standing up one more time with emuna, with trust. And living, which we're going to see in the middle, Yira Shemaim, so that we still live as Jews every day. The end is, then you're going to move forward. Because when you balance yourself on your feet, and then the kaf regel is not the ankle, it's the sole of the foot. that moves forward, that progresses. Everywhere you step, you will succeed. All your progress will lead you to the proper destination. Everything will fall before you, not just the enemies from outside. The enemies always, this is always referring to the enemies and obstacles inside. You will move forward. And he ends this parsha that everywhere you step, right, will be yours. Min ha-midbar ha-levonon, min ha-nar, ha-prasad ha-yam, ha-charon ye-gvulchem. Your boundaries will extend and extend. And look at the last pasuk. No man will stand up against you. Lo yisyatzev ish bifneichem. Nobody else will be able to stand up straight. In other words, their ankle, so to speak, of all the other forces and nations and ideologies that try to secure themselves, instead of you, or in defiance of Klal Yisrael, or on the bones and ashes of Klal Yisrael, nobody will stand in front of Klal Yisrael. A lot of metaphor here of standing and walking and secure on the feet, because we're talking about here, Moshe's not talking to that door only, he's talking to us in this door at the end. So a lot of metaphor of the foot and the strength. Lo yitzyasev ish bifnechem. No man will stand before you. Your fear and your awe, Hashem will give you al pnei kol haaretz, asher tidruchu ba, on the entire land that you walk on, that you step on, they will all be in awe of you. Kasher diber lechem, as he spoke to you. This is what Moshe is saying. It starts with our choice to stabilize ourselves, but the guarantee is that once we're stable, everywhere we proceed will be secure, and in the end, we'll arrive at the destination. But the middle point is, found in Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Beis. Who has the page? What does that Pasuk say? Up until this point, by the way, read the parsha. Up until this point, Moshe is telling them all the things Hashem will do for you and how wonderful it will all be. And don't forget what he did for you in the Midbar. And don't forget how you tested him and you provoked him, and yet he kept his bris with you because of the love of the Avos, and because of, you know, and of course his expectation that the children will one day live up to what the Avos embedded and planted in them. And he kept you going, and there were times he wanted to end the whole thing, but I interceded on your behalf, and he loved you, and he kept your promise. It's all this. But now, Pasuk Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Beis, what does Moshe tell them? Now, after saying everything Hashem did for Klal Yisrael, he says, now, you know what Hashem wants from you? I just told you everything for a couple of chapters of all the things Hashem has been doing for you. Never to forget that. But now, what does Hashem want from you in order to bring you to the final destination? And what are the words? Ki im liyira es Hashem Elokecha. Stop. Va'ata Yisrael. And now Yisrael. Ma Hashem Elokecha shoel me imcha. What does the word shoel mean? Borrow. Borrow me imcha from you. My grandfather brings down here a piece from Rav Hirsch. It's so telling. Just on the word here. Shoel me imcha. A shoel means to ask. Hashem is asking you. But halachically, we use the term shoel as a borrower. But the key here is in the word me'imcha. There's another type of way of speaking about asking something from someone else. Acha sha'alti me'es Hashem. Me'es and me'im. Two different words. When you ask something, me'es means, can I have it from you? So now it's mine. When you ask somebody me'imcha, it means, can I borrow it for a few minutes, but it's still yours. Me'imcha, from with you, but it's still with you. It's still with the original owner, but I'm taking it for a minute. So here he says, you know what Hashem is requesting, almost wants to borrow from you for a moment? Look what it says. Kiyim liyira es Hashem elokecha. Hashem wants yira shemayim. This is the famous Gemara, hakol bidei shemayim. Chutz comes from here. Chutz mi yira shemayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven, but not yira shemayim. In other words, our moral and our choices, how much we choose to obey Hashem, all our moral choices, that's not in Hashem's hands. Otherwise, we'd be robots, no reward and punishment, etc., no point to the whole creation. So, but here, look what it says. Hashem is not demanding that you give me completely, forever, your Yira Shemayim. Hashem is saying, I want borrowing it from you for a moment. What does that mean? It means extend yourself, display some Yira Shemayim, and when I see you displaying it, I will return to you great gifts of greater Yerushalayim. and greater love, because it is not really possible, our sages and everybody, Bali Masha explained, to person to live in a state of complete yira and never sin, ever, and always have the clarity in their head. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't even expect it. These words tell us, put in the effort to offer me some Yira Shamayim, which means to hold back in those situations when we don't want to hold back. So Yira always means restraint, you know, not to violate the rules, not to go against the will of Hashem. It's not the same as doing the mitzvahs. Doing the mitzvahs is so much easier than not violating, because doing the mitzvahs are actions. You don't even have, it doesn't matter what your emotions are, just go through the motions. You're supposed to have kavana, but just do it. But holding back and not violating, everybody understands, is a much greater form of avoda, of work. And Hashem says, so offer it to me. Just show me your intent and I will return it to you in greater measure. And we all know that that this is a truth, that in the end, a person's mind and heart being purified and their intentions becoming correct and oriented only to Hashem is a combination of trying very hard, but then Hashem gives us a gift and increases our capacity, our interest, our motivation. So here he says, and the Siva Shalom says this beautifully, the Ramchal, he brings down the Ramchal in Mesilas Yesharim. The Ramchal, right? We always talk about the Ramchal. Shekasher Yehudi Mishtadel Kechol Yechaloso. When a person tries as hard as they can, Az HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nosin Lo B'matana, then Hashem gives him as a free gift. What a person really can't achieve. There are certain temptations and inclinations that people have that they cannot squelch entirely. And it makes them make mistakes on, you know, over and over again. So if a person tries as hard as they can, then is a matana, Hashem will give them the strength and the motivation to overcome those areas that really, left to their own devices, we can't. We can't. They're very powerful, and it's a world of actions and urgency of our needs, and they get us over and over again. That's where they topple us over and over and over again. But Hashem gives it as a matana. That's implied in these words, Ma Hashem Shoel Me'imcha. He's just borrowing it from you, and he'll give it back to you. Now, wait a minute. The pasuk says, what does Hashem want from you? Nothing but Kiyim Liyiras Hashem. Okay, so what does that mean? How do you do that? And then all of a sudden, the rest of the pasuk goes into more things. Lelechas b'chol drachav, to go in all his ways. Lavo, so to love him. Lavo des Hashem elokecha b'chol levavcha, to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. It's funny. What does Hashem want? Nothing but fear him and go in his ways and love him and serve him and do everything. So here comes a medrash sachar tov. My grandfather brings down. So David HaMelech did a similar thing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Acha sho'alti me'eis Hashem. Osa avakesh. Shifti b'veis Hashem kol yimei chaya. And then what does he continue to say? Yeah. Lachsos b'noam Hashem. Ulevaker b'heichalo. Right? So first he says, I only want one thing. I want to dwell. Right? Shifti b'veis Hashem kol yimei chaya. I just want to like be sitting. Be sitting means I'm there. I'm not moving anymore. This is my place. I found my home. I'm good here. That's what sitting means. In other words, not being there for a minute and then all of a sudden finding yourself very far away from there. All my life, I just want to be there, be secure that I'm there. And then he says, but then he doesn't stop. Once he got that, he says, and then you know what else? I really also want lachsos b'noam Hashem, to see the ni'imus, the pleasantness of all the ways of Hashem. Ula vaker b'heichal, and then to visit his heichal, which could mean for David, the mikdash, which he wasn't able to build. But also to come visit and to be near a place where he can do the avoda, to be in, to come always be welcomed, so to speak, by Hashem, because he was always afraid of it, that he was no longer welcome by Hashem. So Amar Lefanov. So they said to David. So the pasuk says, this is the Medrash Sachar Tov says on this pasuk. Okay, Amar Lo Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said to David Melech, Betchila ata omer acha sha'aldi. First you say, all I want is this. Then you go on and you go on. So David says to him, Amar lefanav, Mibona shlolam, Yehei ha'eved sheva l'rabo. Shouldn't the servant be just like his master? I'm learning from you. Betchila lo baso leina ba'achas. You just told us one thing. Ask Yisrael ma Hashem lekecha shoal mimcha. What does Hashem want from you? Kim liyira, just to fear him. Ba'achar kach, and then afterwards, what did you do? Patachta leina b'mitzvahs harbe yistar. Oh, and all these mitzvahs also. Lelechas bedrachav, la'ava. So I'm like you. So what's going on here in this Medrash? So what's going on here in the Medrash is, if David is sitting in Beis Hashem, and he's looking around, to, so to speak, metaphorically, to see what's going on here, obviously being there is going to generate in him greater ratzon to be closer and more and go into all the various, you know, rooms of the house, so to speak, and see, get to know Hashem better. In other words, being close to Hashem is going to be, in and of itself, a catalyst to want more and more and more. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the same to us. All I want from you is Yiras Hashem. That will be what's going to motivate you to all the next steps are going to come from that. And more than that, everything you do is going to be within the framework of Yiras Hashem. So for example, when you go in Hashem's ways, Lechas B'chol Derachav, to walk in the ways of Hashem, not only because sometimes we're motivated to, but out of Yira, and we don't mean fear of punishment, which is very healthy, by the way. Halavai, we should all have a healthy fear of punishment, that Hashem actually cares what we do. Right? That's a healthy, motivational, positive demonstration of Hashem's love. And Hashem doesn't punish. We know Hashem is not punitive and not vindictive. We've spoken about it here. Hashem uses our mistakes to teach us and to bring us close. That's what people call punishment. It's not punishment. It hurts, but it's what brings us close. It's the arrow, right? Being pulled away, that's shooting back. Remember, we mentioned this. Fundamental point. The Ramban's debate at Barcelona with Pablo Cristiani, the converted Jew, and he argued, he said, your God is a God, a vengeful God, and a God always threatening you with the abyss and, you know, and all the punishments. We have a loving God that absolves all of our sins, that expiates us, that has, you know, sent his blah, blah, blah to die for our sins, and he forgives us and he saves us. So Ramban says, you have a God who considers you infants who are not capable of doing salvaging yourself or doing anything on your own to redeem yourselves. And therefore he has to save you. There it means he has no expectations from you. He sees no value in you. Like infants who constantly make a mess and the mother constantly forgives because they don't know anything better. Our God treats us like adults and has expectations from us. And showing us the dangers of our mistakes is showing us how much he expects from us. It's exactly the opposite. It's a God of greater love. A God who doesn't care is not a God of love. A parent who never disciplines a child because they don't really expect much from that kid anyway is not a loving parent. So here he says that even walking in Hashem's ways, sometimes we're motivated to be a Baal Chesed and Rachamim like Hashem. But Hashem is also Emes. And Hashem is also withholds. The whole world came into being by Hashem concealing himself, right? We spoke about this. Yeah. Only because Hashem conceals himself do we feel like we are separate, which is where we get our Bechira from. So Hashem holds back, doesn't overwhelm us. So there are many ways of emulating Hashem that take restraint, Yira. So that, if we have Yira of Hashem, a awareness of the big picture, then all the aspects of our other, you know, facets of life are going to be affected by that. Also, our ahava, to love him and to serve him with our hearts and souls, all of that is going to be affected by, or a factor of the year. My grandfather says here, lelechas b'chol derachav, to go in his ways, b'yira. La'avoso, to love him, b'yacharim yira, together with yira. La'avodas Hashem l'kecha, b'yira. Lishmaras mitzvah Hashem, to keep his mitzvahs and his chukim, with yira. And the same as David, one thing leads to the next. What we're saying here is, and the Nesivah Shalom says and hear this, and he makes it very clear, and everybody knows this is true, but he says it so well. He talks about Yirah Shemayim, and he says like this. Is a mashal. La'adam sh'amar l'chaver. A mashal of a person said to his friend, I have a thousand measures of wheat, and 1,000 measures of oil, and 1,000 measures of wine. Amarlo, his friend said to him, if you have a storehouse to put them in, yeah, then you have them. But if you don't, you have nothing, because it's going to rot in no time. Everything's going to spoil. Kach adam shone hakol. A person can know everything. Okay? Amar imulo im yeshlecha yiras chet hakol shalach. If you have fear of sin, you have everything. All your accomplishments, intellectually and emotionally, your avas Hashem, your mitzvahs, your commitment, your knowledge that it's true, your love of Jewish, the pi of the Jewish people, your love of Jewish history, your all of that. If you have a warehouse, a storehouse to put it in, it'll remain with you. If you don't, it'll come to nothing. Yiras Hashem hi otsro. The fear of Hashem is the storehouse. V'zehu shamar David. This is what David said. Yiras Hashem tohora omedes la'ad. The fear of Hashem, the pure fear of Hashem, that's what stands forever. If a person has no place to store it, so to speak, to hold on to it, to then he has nothing. Ach im ein lo otzer ein biyado klum. He's got nothing. He says, and then he says, to bring us full circle, that yira is a outcome of emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even if we don't understand things, and we don't, and certainly at the end of the Golas, this is very much the case, emuna is the trust to keep going forward, and yira means to keep living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, in real in front of us, doing what we have to do. And he brings something down which is so, never saw this before, so interesting. All the terms that relate to just living correctly, just doing what you have to do to live. Achila, eating. Shtia, drinking. Shena, sleeping. Halicha, walking. Bekulam, yesh osios, yud, hey. They all have the letters yud, hey. Just what you have to do each day to get up and keep going. Has Hashem's name in it, yud, hey. Ve'elu, ve'ilu, be'inyane avodas Hashem, but in those areas of avodas Hashem, not just living, going forward, but avodas Hashem, for example, avoda, mitzvah, kedusha, Torah, is yesh osios vavhe. But yudhe, and this is, if you want to know more about yudke vavke, and all, many, you know, not all, the tip of the iceberg of the meanings of yudke vavke, Arya Kaplan wrote a very mystical book called Inner Space. Talks all about this in the beginning. Very interesting. But Yud-K is always the more godlike. The more godlike forces are Yud-K, and the more human, earthbound forces are Vav-K. Okay? What Hashem gives to us, our attachment to Hashem is Yud-K, and our world that we live in more and how we, you know, express it in physical is Vav-K. So Achila and Shtia and Shena and all things are Yud-K. And Kedusha and Torah and Avoda are all Vavke. And what he says here is that the actions, just trust, get up, have strength, be loyal. Emuna, by the way, means ne'emonis, loyalty. Keep going. At the very end, at the ikvas of the Mashiach, that will keep you stable. That's where you're going to have your ability to not be toppled. Everything else will be toppled. But we will not be toppled, is the combination of the trust, which allows us to live with yiras shemayim, which means an awareness of what our responsibilities are. That engenders great ava from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Great ava, by the way, in us. Great love in us that we're privileged to still be knowing what we're doing and still doing it. And that secures for us the final promises that Hashem made, that we will not only be secure, we not only stand upright, no one else will, nothing, the forces against us will not stand up against us, and we will progress forward. But in the spirit of this, one more thing, one last thing, such also a very nice thing, he says, Va'ata Yisrael, now Yisrael, Ata, right now, okay? This parsha is always read now after Tu B'Av, yeah. All right? Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Miyimcha, Ma is Gematria 45, from Tu B'Av to Rosh Hashanah is 45 days. This is the time to prepare for accepting Hashem's reign on Rosh Hashanah through re-establishing this, you know, in other words, standing back up, you know, finding our place, standing back up on our feet, through the evaluating how we're doing in our Yirah Shemayim. Now, 45 days to Rosh Hashanah, looking at how our Yirah Shemayim is, how much that affects us, so that on Rosh Hashanah we can stand up, it's a long Shemoneh Esrei, right? And accept Hashem's sovereignty upon us. So this is the beginning. Everyone, we should all be very zocha to fulfill, to be able to make this time worthy. Everybody, make sure you have your email with Marvin, because I'm going to send an email for whoever wants to buy the Juggler and the King. Be well. That is a